I'll start the reading with verse 5, but before I do, I wonder how many of you are familiar with the idea of forms and empty forms. An empty form, sometimes you can picture as an empty cake pan, one of the saddest pictures that we can ever see. In our church services, sometimes we can come and we have these forms that we fit things into, and we have these sections that we give our attention to. And for many of you, maybe this is the time where the preacher comes up and he talks, and this is the part where we're really supposed to be quiet if we're children and give our attention. Well, I hope for you at this time this isn't going to be an empty cake pan. I hope you're coming now with an earnest expectation of something wonderful. An earnest expectation of something powerful, not because it's me, but because we're approaching the Word of God that's called living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I hope now you are gathering your hearts around to come and hear something that is to penetrate you and to cut you to the quick. May that be your posture now. May you not be expecting an empty pan. May you be expecting something wonderful. Something powerful, something to impact you now and for the rest of your life and for all of eternity. With that in mind, turn with me now to the Word of the Living God in Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 5. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very hour. Pray with me. Our Father, as we approach your word, help us to come with eager expectation. Our Father, please do not allow me to get into the way. God, sweep me aside and be revealed and all of your glory, and all of your splendor. God, and bless your people now. Draw them close to you. Nourish them, strengthen them, God, so that you will be glorified as they go forth, living lives for you and for your namesake. And we pray, God, that many will see and fear and put their trust in your Son, so that more and more will worship you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my pre-teen years and in my early teen years, I worked for my great uncle on his farm. He had cattle and he had tractors and he had fields, and it was exhausting. Sometimes in the winter, we would find ourselves in his shed, and it had this smell of oil and the smell of grease, and it had a cold dirt floor. And I remember being so exhausted and my knuckles having been knocked open, chilled to the core and barely able to put one foot in front of the other sometimes as I tried to fulfill all of my uncle's commands. Well, in the midst of that, we would wait and we would hear this song, this clear bell ringing from not so far away. It was the dinner bell. And we would hear his wife sing his name, "Charles," and we knew it was time. And we would go to the side of the shed and we would pump the John Deere hand cleaner onto our busted knuckles and we would rub them real good, and from there we would go into the warmth. From there we would sit down with roast and mashed potatoes and gravy and fresh corn. As we come this morning to this table, God is not surprised if you are beaten. God is not surprised if you are chilled to the core. You see, as you and I live in a dark and a fallen world, we get beat up. We get beat up by our own sins. We get beat up by other people's sins. And this morning, I am the voice of that bell calling out to you. Calling out to you in the name of Christ, come in for dinner. Come to the table. This is for your nourishment. This is for your strength. This is the sign that you are accepted by God. And as we look at verse 11, where Christ says, "And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." We are those who are from the west. If you will imagine with me for a moment when Adam and Eve were created in perfection and holiness, and Adam took that fruit, and we'll just say for the moment if it was an apple, and he bit into that, imagine the snap of the skin. And with that snap, a shockwave of death shot across the world and shot and immersed the world in shadow and in death. Where you and I find ourselves, when Christ says many will come from the east and the west, at that time the light was there in that holy land. The light was there where the promises had been made. And to say that people will come out from the shadows and be brought to the light to recline at this table, this is you. This is you being called out of the darkness, being called out of the shadow to sit at the King's table. So the call this morning, as we consider the Word of God, the call this morning, as we consider this great supper, is for you to set your heart on the Lord's Supper and to strive to come rightly to it. First, as we consider how to do this, I call upon you to come to the table with a holy reverence. For that, I'm going to read Hebrews 11, 28 and 29. Hebrews 11, 28 and 29. I'll wait a moment as I hear some of you turning there. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. We see this picture of the Passover, and which is now, as we celebrate it, the Lord's Supper. We see this picture of blood given. And we should be struck by the imagery of blood as we read blood. What is more stirring than us and coming across actual blood in our lives? To look down and find ourselves cut, or to walk into a room and find a loved one cut. Blood is the picture of life, or the picture of death. As we look here and as we consider the Passover, we see the full weight of sin. As an animal is killed, as an animal is bled out, and this all points forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. How much weight should there be in this supper as you receive the cup? How much weight should there be in this supper as you receive the bread, the very picture of Christ's body being broken. What imagery is more disturbing than the image of a human body being broken? Leviticus 10:3. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I will be treated as holy." This was the word given after Aaron's sons were consumed by God for coming in an unworthy manner. As we come to this table, as we literally draw near to God, as we join Him at His table, we must come rightly. We must come with a humble reverence as we come, knowing our God and knowing that He is a consuming fire. As we consider coming in a worthy manner, I'll have you consider what is required to come before the Lord in a holy manner. What is required to come in a right manner to the table? You may, most of you, hopefully all of you know that we've practiced session-controlled communion. In our session, I sometimes just have two questions for people as we consider their salvation apart from their church membership, and I ask them, "Are you a sinner?" And they must answer yes if they hope to come to this table. The second question is, then how do you hope to be received by a holy God? You see, we come rightly only as we know that we are sinners. We come rightly only as we know that Christ has paid for our sin. This is how we come rightly. In the very righteousness of Christ. So we must not come and approach this table lightly, but we come with a fearful reverence. In 1 Corinthians 11:26 it says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." So as we come, we shouldn't look like football players who just got done with practice fighting and pushing and elbowing, pouring through a room and sitting down at a table ready to scoop it all in. We should be a people coming with a gentle reverence, knowing what we are approaching. One evening as I was retiring, I came into my room and I was exhausted and I was ready to pour myself into my bed. The lights were off and there was something laying on my bed and I didn't recognize it. And I reached down as quick as I could to scoop it up and to toss it into a corner. When I did, what I grabbed wasn't what I expected. I felt cold steel. I felt a weight and I felt a bite into my hand, and what I had grabbed up was a sword that had been laid on my bed. As you come to this table, do not come lightly. Do not quickly snatch it up, but come recognizing the full weight of what you are doing, receiving the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So set your hearts on coming to this table with a holy reverence. Part of the way that we do this is looking to see what the bread and the wine represent. The fancier way to say it would be diligently observe the sacramental elements. As you think of the bread, imagine the body broken. Maybe a broken bone that you've had. As you look down and you've been shocked to find your body twisted. Or a broken bone that you've seen someone else have and you look down and you are shocked. You see the image of God rent. As you come to this table, imagine blood running down old wood, to puddle into the dust. And remember that this was the price of your salvation. What you see now is the picture of your great salvation purchased by the perfect one. Purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been said this way. I wish I had written down where I got this quote. When people do not properly judge the holiness of the celebration of communion, they treat with indifference the Lord Himself, His life, suffering, and death. Maybe in our midst we have some patriots. You have seen people burn the American flag. That has struck a chord in many of us, as many of us have had loved ones who have laid down their life to purchase our freedom. Many of us have had loved ones who have been badly damaged or injured for life, who have fought and given up everything. And as we look and we may be outraged as we see an American flag burning, we're not offended that fabric is being burnt. We are offended that the lives that were laid down to purchase our freedom that that flag represents is being defaced. How much more so as we approach the representation of the living God, the living and holy one, the eternal one, should we be so cautious to properly discern the body and the blood of Christ? Now, as we look at this, this warrants more than a head nod, but you must affectionately meditate on Christ's death and suffering. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19. Luke 22:19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm calling upon you to affectionately meditate on Christ's death and suffering. He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." For what? Which is given for you. I want each of you to take ownership of this passage right now. That as you receive this, this is given for you. A sacrifice made for you to purchase you out of your sin, to purchase you out of your damnation, to purchase you out of an eternity of fire, and to bring you into eternal glory. There should be a holy affection tied to this meal for you, as these pictures of your great salvation and this great love that has been demonstrated for you. How many of us long for love? How many of us long to be truly loved and to be completely known and loved anyway? This meal is that picture for you. You may chase it from humans, from a spouse, for your entire life, and you will never be loved as perfectly as is illustrated here. What you desire most, your heart's cry and your heart's song, is pictured here in this meal. How much love and affection should be cultivated and stirred in your heart as you receive this meal. So look at this meal as the memorial of the greatest love that has ever been expressed. The greatest love that will ever be expressed. And it is being expressed for you here this morning. Next, as we consider coming rightly, I'll have you consider 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Isn't it fascinating that even in taking this meal, you are proclaiming, you are announcing, you are sharing the Lord's death? And what is the Lord's death? What is the purpose of the Lord's death? We have looked at it was for the purpose of receiving you and purchasing you. But why was that required? Why did Jesus have to die? There's two answers to that. The first is God's holiness. The fact that God cannot receive a sinner without the sins being atoned for. The second answer is your sin. Your crimes. That's why the body was broken. That's why the blood was spilled. That is why we have the Lord's Supper. You see, as you take this meal, you proclaim and you announce your own sinfulness. Your own need for Christ's death. As you take this meal, you announce and you proclaim God's holiness. You announce and you proclaim Christ's sacrifice in answer to both. God's holiness and your sinfulness and peace between you and God. As you proclaim the Lord's death, as you receive this, you are announcing, I am a sinner. God is holy. The price has been paid and I am accepted. What a great meal. I love the roast, the mashed potatoes, the gravy, and the fresh corn. But I love the announcement of my salvation more. I love what we are being given this morning because it says, I am accepted. I have fallen short, but there is a perfect one who has never fallen short. And because of His sacrifice, because of His body, because of His blood, I am received. I am welcome for all eternity. And who Christ holds fast will never be let go, will never be cast off, will never again be thrown into shadow. You proclaim that. You proclaim that. Isn't it beautiful how you didn't make this? It's not yours. You sit and you receive. Given to you from the Most High. But now as you come, make certain that you come with appropriate repentance and sorrow for your sin. Zechariah 12:10 says this, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him, like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. You see, sorrow as well as joy should accompany this meal as we consider what was cost. Again, as we consider a body broken, I have told stories of my different injuries and wounds to my wife, and she gasps and says, that just made my stomach turn as she hears it. I'm reminded recently as I watched my 5-year-old daughter skipping across a parking lot in her Sunday best, and she slipped and she came down on a piece of jagged concrete, and her delicate knee, her soft skin was torn. And I sighed with sorrow as tears ran down my daughter's face and she wept and wailed. How much more so your Savior? Body broken for your crimes. Blood spilled for your crimes. So if you don't have a true sorrow for your sin, beg for it. Beg for it. If you don't sorrow over your sin rightly, it is a sign that you are not a child of God. If you don't sorrow over your sin, you may still be in shadow. So plead with God for a proper heart that hates sin. Plead with God that He will cause you to come rightly. Let's not finish on that note. I call upon you to feast on this meal with joy in His great love for you. 2 Chronicles 30:21 says this, and the sons of Israel, keep in mind, this isn't Jews from long ago and just that. This is your church family. You have been engrafted into Israel. As you look at the sins of the Old Testament, don't just gasp and think, how could they be that? Remember, you are that. And the sons of Israel, present in Jerusalem, celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with great joy. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day after day with loud instruments to the Lord. If they praised and rejoiced this much in the older covenant, as they had signs and shadows, wondering what is to come and what this great salvation will look like, how much more so you? How much more so you in the new covenant? How much more so you as you know Christ? How much more so you as you have this complete revelation? How much more so you as you look forward to seeing Christ face to face and you know it? As you live in the kingdom of God. As you live embracing perfect salvation by grace. How much more so you on this side of the cross? You have been loved. You have been loved. You are received. You are accepted. You look forward to eternal glory because of what Christ has done. And here, we have that picture. Here, we have the good word that you are accepted. Embrace this meal. Embrace this meal with your whole heart and come rightly to this table. Pray with me. Our God, the one true living God who has given us the way of salvation that doesn't hinge on us, we praise you and rejoice in you. Because of what you have done. Our God, thank you for bringing us from the West to recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the kingdom of God, your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, bless us now, work in us now, and cause us to be truly nourished as we receive this picture of all that you have done for us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.